Georgetown University is in Washington, D.C., and one of the things that Georgetown has is called the Center for Applied Research. What this center does is they conduct social scientific studies for the Catholic Church. And in 2017, the center did the following. They asked this question, first of the general public and then of those who are Catholic. And here's the question. What is your understanding of the term devil? Is it a symbolic term or is the devil a real person? So when the general public was polled in 2017, these are American numbers, 69% of those Americans in responding to the question said that, well, the devil is a symbolic term. 31% described him as a real person. When the question was then put to Catholics, 83% described the devil as merely symbolic, and only 17% described the devil as a reality, a spiritual entity, a living person. Many centuries ago, St. Augustine, in reflecting on the reality of evil as he saw it in the world before he became a Christian, this is how he understood or didn't understand evil. He wrote, "I was looking for where evil came from, and I could find no explanation. I was looking," he said, "for where evil comes from, and I could find no explanation." Well, then when he was 34, St. Augustine became a Christian under the teaching of St. Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan. And he came to realize that the only way in which you can understand the reality of evil is if you have a Christian worldview, that you have a biblical worldview. And indeed, the whole of the biblical tradition understands the devil not symbolically, but as personal. And we have the greatest authority of them all, God, who in the person of Jesus Christ, when he taught us the Lord's Prayer, the last clause of the Lord's Prayer has these words. Now, this isn't what we pray at Mass because it's been changed a little bit. But if you look at it in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the last clause of the Lord's Prayer has these words. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. The 2,000-year Catholic tradition has always understood the devil to be personal. Indeed, two of our most recent popes, Pope St. John Paul II, and our current pope, Pope Francis, also say this. Listen to these words of Pope St. John Paul II, which he gave at the shrine of St. Michael the Archangel on the 24th of May in the year 1984. Quoting Pope John Paul II, "The battle against the devil, which is the principal task of St. Michael the Archangel, is still being fought today, because the devil is still alive and active in the world. The evil that surrounds us today, the disorders that plague our society, man's inconsistency and the brokenness are not only the results of original sin," now listen to these words, "but also the result of Satan's pervasive and dark action." Clearly, St. John Paul II understands the devil to be personal. Now, Pope Francis, a few years ago, wrote an apostolic exhortation entitled "The Call to Holiness in Today's World." What does it mean to live a holy life in the 21st century? And the last chapter of this exhortation has this title: Spiritual Combat, Vigilance, and Discernment. And listen to what Pope Francis wrote in 2016. "It is precisely the conviction that this malign power is present in our midst. Hence, we should not think of the devil as a myth, a representation, a symbol, a figure of speech, or an idea." In other words, we should not think what the majority of Catholics think. "This mistake would lead us to let down our guard, to grow careless, and end up more vulnerable. The devil does not need to possess us. He poisons us with the venom of hatred, desolation, envy, and vice. When we let down our guard, he takes advantage of it to destroy our lives, our families, and our communities." And then quoting 1 Peter 5:8, Pope Francis concludes, Like a roaring lion, the devil prowls around looking for someone to devour. So what is it that informs the popes to speak with such clarity about the devil? Well, the Bible, and for starters, the reading we had today from Mark chapter 1, at the end of that chapter. This is the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And what is striking about this, as Mark tells us, is it begins with a confrontation with the kingdom of darkness, with demons. We had as our Old Testament reading this passage from Deuteronomy, where the Lord speaks to Moses and says that God is going to raise up another prophet like him. Indeed, the text puts it this way: I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among your own people. And the Jewish people always understood this to be a scripture that anticipated the coming of the Messiah. Now, in today's gospel, listen to how St. Mark describes Jesus' teaching. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What does this mean? That Jesus, as he spoke, opened the scriptures for the people of God in a way that they had never heard the scriptures opened to them before. They understood their relevance, their pertinence, their meaning. And here's the other thing about the way Jesus preached. His preaching had such authority that it stirred up the demons and the devil. Prior to this, they were able to kind of remain complacent because there was no conflict, there was no challenge. But now that Jesus was beginning to preach the gospel message, the enemy of the gospel, the devil, and his minion of demons want to disrupt the ministry of Jesus because they understand something. In the presence of Jesus, their kingdom is threatened. In the presence of the Lord, their attempt to undermine what Jesus is doing will indeed be futile. Listen to this. In our reading today, the demon speaks through the man who is possessed. But remember what he says. What do you have to do with us? Us. Now, the teaching of the church has understood the following: that the devil and demons are angels, but they are fallen angels. The devil is the kingpin, and about a third of the angels, all of who were created at the same time before the creation of the universe, a third of them have fallen and gone in league with the devil. And so when the demon says to Jesus, "What do you have to do with us?" he's sort of talking about the whole crew. What do you have to do with us? Have you come to destroy us? Now, here's the thing about devils and demons. They can't be destroyed. They can only be cast out. And this is what Jesus will do. He will exorcise this demon in order to free this man who had been under the demon's authority so that he can now come under the authority of Christ. The story of Jesus' first exorcism portrays that the forces of evil are understood as being personal demonic forces. And here I want to quote from a New Testament theologian by the name of Mary Healy, who in her commentary on St. Mark's Gospel wrote these words. Quoting Dr. Healy, "For Mark, as for the whole New Testament, evil is not an impersonal force, but a concentrated in invisible, malevolent beings who are bent on destroying human beings and hindering God's plan of salvation. These evil spirits are responsible for various mental and even physical maladies." Now, it's important to qualify this. The Catholic Church understands very clearly issues around mental health and the need for mental health practitioners. Indeed, I would see it as one of the great advances of our time in which we live that we understand mental health issues much more clearly than we did, say, a generation ago. But what the church also wants us to understand is what Dr. Healy will go on to say. "Therefore, the church has always taught, however, that demons are real spiritual beings, fallen angels who are created by God, but became evil by their own free choice. Anyone," she says, "tempted to dismiss accounts of demons as fables does not have to look far for evidence of their influence today. Such phenomena as racial cleansing, group suicide, sexual abuse of children by Roman Catholic priests, not to mention pornography, not to mention the increase in the use of Ouija boards, tarot cards, and even the popularization of black masses. All of these things are on the rise in our world today. But listen to how she concludes this reflection. As frightening and as real as the power of demons is, the authority of Christ is infinitely superior. Through his cross and resurrection, Christ definitively conquered the powers of hell, and that's what Mark is telling us in today's gospel. For the present time, however, their malicious actions are permitted by God, who can work good out of every evil. Now, I just want to share one more thing, which makes this very practical. On the 1st of January of this year, Bishop McGrattan appointed me to be the chair of the Spiritual Discernment Committee. The work of the Spiritual Discernment Committee in our diocese is to help us to have a better understanding of how these malevolent spirits might be at the work in lives of faithful Catholics. Part of what the bishop has asked me to do is a very intensive course, which I am now studying, so that I will have a broad understanding of the biblical teaching on this subject, plus the 2,000-year tradition of the Church. Why is he asking me to do this? Because the Church is understanding that we have to take this area of our ministry much more seriously. We are being awakened to acknowledge that in the 21st century, part of the pastoral care of the Catholic Church is to exercise in love the authority of Christ, which isn't only the proclamation of the gospel through word, but the living out and the witnessing of the gospel through action. And so I ask your prayers. Part of me, when the bishop asked me to undertake this ministry, was no thank you very much. And I actually prayed about it for 2 months. And at the end of 2 months, it was clear that the Lord was saying to me, I want you to do this. But I kind of feel like Moses, who, when the Lord asked him to help lead the people out of Israel, or out of Egypt, excuse me, to Israel, Moses said, please find someone else, God. But God has asked me to do this. And the bishop has asked me to do this. And I think this is a great opportunity, not only for us as a parish, but for our diocese, that as in the years to come, we can work in concert with our bishop and with the larger church. We can then take to heart these words from Pope Francis, who right at the end of this exhortation that I referred to earlier, writes these beautiful words. This is our Pope speaking to us. Our path towards holiness is a constant battle. Those who do not realize this will be prey to failure or mediocrity. For this spiritual combat, we can count on the powerful weapons that the Lord has given us. Listen to these things that the Pope says. Faith-filled prayer, meditation on the Word of God, the celebration of Mass, Eucharistic adoration, sacramental reconciliation, the works of charity, community life, missionary outreach. In other words, the way we most combat the devil is by living the Christian life, living as practicing Catholics in every dimension of our faith. If we become careless, he says, the false promises of evil will easily seduce us. The devil is seductive, absolutely. As the sainted cura Brocchero, and this was a priest from Argentina that was canonized in 2016. And so the Pope says, as sainted cura Brocchero said, what good is it when Lucifer, the other name for the devil, promises you freedom and showers you with all of his benefits if those benefits are deceptive and poisonous? I pray that we will realize that when we know that the only explanation for evil can be understood when we recognize the power of these malevolent fallen angels, that we will continue and grow to call on the one who has greater power, the Lord Jesus Christ, who teaches you and me to pray, deliver us from the evil one.